This hour, we'll take your phone calls with Jim Paris, author of How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, when we come back. Welcome back to Coast, James Paris with us. James, as we look at some of the things that have happened to people when they hit rock bottom, how do you convince them that things will get better? Because when they're at that point, it's not easy.
Yeah, it is tough. And when people reach that point, like I did on three occasions, planning out my own suicide, all you can see are your problems. You don't see anything but darkness. And it is the most horrible feeling of hopelessness that you can ever imagine. However, I think that most of us, if we step back at that moment and start really looking at things in more of an objective way, we can really see all of the blessings that we have. You know, for example, I have three wonderful kids. I've been married for 28 years. We're all healthy. We're in a situation, even at the time, where our basic needs were being met. You know, we had access to health care and food and clothing. So we were not in as terrible of a situation as I perceived it. And this is what happens when the depression sets in, is it begins to look a lot worse than it really is. So I found it, in my case, helpful not only to spend a lot of time in prayer, but also talking with people. Because someone outside of yourself that you're sharing your problems with, many times they can say, well, look, you still have your health, you still have your marriage, you've got three great kids, you've still got your mind, you've got all this great energy and ideas. The future's going to be brighter. It's hard for you on your own sometimes to see things that way. That's why counseling, talking to a friend, talking to someone that's one step removed from the circumstance that you're in is so valuable.
It sure is. Let's go to a few calls here for you, Jim, as we continue to chat about truly what I think actually works. You're on to something. What I don't know is whether it's inherent within all of us to make this work. If it's like we're all born with precognitive abilities, but some people are better than others. Is it something like that?
I really don't think that. In fact, I've had so many people email me and tell me that this works for them. I know it works for, it can work for everyone. I don't believe that God has favorites, that he communicates with some and not with others. The few that have contacted me, and there have been some who have said, look, I've tried this, it doesn't work. I go to the beach and sit and I don't hear anything. And in that back and forth, a couple of interesting things will typically come up. One is that person is truly not listening for God. They've got their cell phone out, they've got their computer out, they're thinking about other things. They're really not sitting quietly listening for God. The other thing is that I tell people, as crazy as these ideas are that are popping into your brain while you're in that prayer session, write them all down. You can refine those ideas later, but you might be just closed off to the idea of, for example, moving or changing occupations or selling that car you can't afford or that house you can't afford or looking at, for example, moving into a different type of business than the business that you own. These are all things that are really options on the table that we should be open to, but many times we put God in a box and say, God, help me in my circumstances, in my exact job that I've been doing for 30 years. I want to stay in that. I want to stay in the house. I want to stay in this same neighborhood, in this same city. And we put all these restrictions instead of being open to what some of these out-of-the-box ideas might be. And that's why many times people don't hear from God.
Prior to your collapse, Jim, financial collapse, were you living high on the hog or were you okay?
I was living a very good lifestyle. My wife and I took two or three very extravagant vacations a year. I had the Corvettes and the Cadillacs and all of that stuff, house on a golf course, country club memberships. I was way up there. Yes, I was doing very, very well.
Now, how are you living now?
I'm living, like I would say, I'm living an upper middle class lifestyle. And for me, it's not so much about money anymore because I kind of stepped back and realized that, you know, a lot of those guys at the country club, I really didn't like them.
And they're not happy people.
Yeah, I am much happier with the people I'm sweating with down at the martial arts school, learning taekwondo, than I am with the guys that were going out to play 18 and we've all got six-figure or some of us seven-figure incomes, I'm much happier with the everyday people. I found that, and in my case, look, I've got a little Jeep that I drive around with the top down most of the time. I enjoy that so much better than the $60,000 cars that I used to have.
Yep.
I've got a house that's smaller than the houses I used to have, but it's all that I need, and I enjoy it. We're 5 minutes from the beach. I've got a little sailboat. So I'm certainly not living at the level I was before if you were to look at my balance sheet, but I feel that there's lots of things that don't go on a balance sheet that can make your life a lot more rich, and I have those things now, and I didn't have them before.
Good for you. Let's go to the phone, Santa Rosa, California. It'll be Donna to get us going here. Donna, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking
You're
my call.
You're welcome, Donna.
And hi, Mr. Paris. This is a wonderful premise. I think we all should talk about it more. And I'm one to be to pray for others and, you know, for others' needs and not for my own. But I've been in a situation where I am in a financial bind. I've been in it for a long time. And I want to work. I've worked all my life. And I've, you know, raised my daughter by myself. Her dad died when she was very young. And I don't have any family to turn to. I've buried my entire family. I was the baby of the family, and I'm the only one left. And I worked right up until I had to have a spinal surgery. And I went through that, and I returned back to work. And I love my work. And I don't know what it's like not to work. You know, I'm not one to ever ask for charity. But I did have to humble myself up, and, you know, I was pulled off of work because I wasn't healing well enough. And, after about, it's been almost 10 years since the first surgery, and I had to go through another one early this summer, a major, major spinal surgery. And I, you know, I thought of, like, you know, what are my options? What can I do? Well, I'm on a second floor, you know, I have to walk up and down stairs, so I'd like to move, but even just to go look for apartments is a major ordeal. And because of what the medical bills have done to my credit, a lot of landlords and even employers don't want to hire you if you have bad credit. I try and keep a really good attitude. You know, before my last surgery, I was really helping a lot of people in my community with various types of disabilities. And, you know, they want to help, but some of them can't even come up the stairs to help me. You know, they're in wheelchairs and walkers and so forth, and never realized how hard it is until I had to be in a wheelchair myself. But I'm in my early 50s, and I've got a lot of life left in me. I feel very like I'm not contributing, like I'm not making a difference in this world. And that's one of the hardest things to go through. And I'm also, you know, I'm on that survival budget. No cable. You know, I went back to college after 29 years.
Good for you.
But without, and I did complete a semester there, and, you know, I'm doing lots of, I'm in physical therapy now for my last surgery, but prior to that, I was doing, you know, swimming. I took a swimming course at my local JC for people with disabilities.
Do you feel like you're winning, Donna?
I feel like I'm just treading water, and as I'm getting older, it's harder. And I really want to work. I want to go back to work. And, you know, I heard you mention something about, you know, people trying to find a disability so they can get income. Well, I never wanted to be on disability. I just wanted to work. But having to be on disability is, you know, I'm grateful that I have any kind of income. But then I also am going through a lot with my insurance. So in what's called the donut hole gap of my insurance, all of my co-pays went from, I know they're on about 10 medications a month, and they went from, you know, $20 copays to $150
a month. Yeah, and that bites. So, Jim, quick recommendation for someone like Donna.
Well, let me tell you, I'm listening to her, and she's saying she's making no contribution to the world. That phone call right there, I mean, here's a person going through all she's going through, and you're still trying to find answers. You sound like an articulate person, a passionate person, probably the kind of person that should be helping people in your same situation. I would look in that direction. You sound like someone that's got that kind of a spirit about you that could be and should be helping other people. Maybe in counseling, maybe some of the organizations that are helping you, you can look to them to see what possibilities there are for training for you to actually become a counselor.
Well, I've done that too. I actually have two certificates in training that I've done since my disability. And I did an internship as well. But one of the problems is I can't foresee, like, each day, you know, if I get a job and I have to work 9 to 5, there's mornings where I literally can't get myself off the bed. I'm in so much pain.
So you've got that issue, but maybe there are other things. You know, with the internet, for example, there are so many ways that you could help people by starting a small website or a blog, even writing your own book and becoming a self-published author and sharing your story and what you're going through. I don't have the specifics for you, but I do believe, Donna, that God will hear your prayers and will give you those specifics. I truly believe that. And somebody like you, you sound like you've got so much to offer. Don't give up on yourself. You have so much to offer. I can hear it in your voice. You're ready to help people. You're ready to step out there and let God use you. And I would be encouraged by that.
There is no magic formula for this, though, is there, Jim?
You know, it's not. And so many people that buy the book, they think that it's about, hey, I'm going to pray the secret prayer and I'm going to get a bag of money. And really, the central message of the book is about accepting God's will for your life. And that's a tough thing. You know, God's will might be that you don't have a lot of money, but I believe that there's more to life than money. And the subtitle of the book is Enlisting God's Help in Solving Everyday Financial Problems. And we can pray about health, we can pray about relationships, we can pray about all kinds of things, but it seems like we don't want to pray about money, and money is a big part of life. And the book is about praying, asking God for direction and guidance, not necessarily the bag of money, although as people read from my story, I was blessed way more than I ever deserved in just miraculous ways. Money literally dropped from the sky. I believe God does still perform those kinds of financial miracles, but the book is about praying, seeking God's guidance, and accepting His will for your life. And there's so many desperate stories like Donna's, but I believe God hears Donna's prayer. And wow, what an articulate, passionate person.
Donna,
you have so much to offer. Hang in there.
And by the way, Jorge George, that's his full name, by the way. Jorge George has just emailed back, wants to make sure you've got his email address, which
I did.
I got
his email from your producer, okay. And I just emailed him, and we're going to send him the book and video.
He's already upbeat.
We can get his mailing address.
That's good. Hope. That's
yes, sir.
Important. Let's go next to John in Des Moines, Iowa. Welcome to the program. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really loving this. By the way, God bless you, Jorge. You hang in there, buddy. You made a great decision. I had a crash of 09 and 10. I had a really awesome business going. And it went down. Biggest client went down. Really a lot of cycles of angry, depressed, soul-searching. How could this have happened? And I did hear you, Jim, in Georgia some months ago, and I was intrigued by this listening to God business. And I actually got a notebook and set it out, didn't use it for 3 months, sat it there, looked at it, and I said, okay, so I'm going to listen to God. You know, just very intriguing. Well, other things happened, too, and I, kind of a convergence of this listening to God business and writing down in the quiet. So long story short, the exhaustion of this angry, depressed cycle, when I started really dedicating my life to God in the beginning, I'm in IT and technology.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like no-nonsense stuff. So, but I did it in the spirit of experiment. And I'm telling you, gentlemen, this no magic formula is right. God really did invade my world. He's given me ideas, technical thoughts. I really am much more engaged in volunteering, helping people, and communicating. I'm asking how this could have happened. What role did I play in the business downturn? What role did my country play? Well, I've been researching it, and I've cut the time now. And when I turned that anger and that bitterness really over to God, I thought He would wipe out the force of the anger. Well, he gave me the love to communicate with people and start over. But the anger is very controlled now, but I'm turning it in a focused way to what's going on in this country. Are we becoming socialists? Have we forgotten our God and our Constitution? And so I've got a a mission now. And my mission is to not just be bitter, but to love people. But I am really going after the devil on this thing. And I want to know how this is happening with the Constitution and the economy. I believe the sociopaths are stepping in to take our way of life from us. And it's contrary to what God wants for my life. And so I do have a piece, and I do this experimentation of writing things down. It is not for the faint of heart, because you really might get it. You might start writing stuff down that, in my case, that, my gosh, God really exists, and this did not come from me. And as I take action, the cure, if I can use that, is quite real. I'm surprised. It's a little scary in a hopeful, exciting way. But I think God really is working. And I thank you, guest. I thank you, George.
You're welcome.
It took me a long time to act on this, writing this business down. But I do. I start my day in prayer and listening, and I end it in thanks.
It does work. Thank you. Jim, you're getting a lot of testimonials here, basically.
Oh, wow. You know, this last caller, I get so many communications like this from people that say, it sounded crazy, but I tried it, and it worked. And it's just so exciting to hear that.
Jessica's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hey, Jessica, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. How is everyone?
All is well. Thank you.
Indeed. I kind of wrote my story down so I could say it rather quickly.
Okay.
First off, I was one of 20,000 people that Ford pushed out back in 06. And at the time, I was on my way to a good and normal kind of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But I had 7 years of famine after that. I had decided I was going to be my own business person, as I am a natural healer, and I had a 20-acre farm. So I was going to farm and, you know, do the healing thing. But the economy was so bad, no one wanted to buy anything. So I ended up losing that house and giving back one of my other houses and moving in with my sister. And just the other day, 2 years ago, I did finally get an engineering job. I'm an engineer. And I guess it was last week or so, I was watching TV, and one of those spiritual leaders came on and said, before you go to sleep, write down what you want. And so I began writing down what I want. So I'm, you know, putting my life back together. I want to get a house with some land. I want to do this, want to do that. And I think I wrote it down two nights, and I went to work and was fired. So rather than really looking at this as, oh, my gosh, my world just crashed on me, I'm thinking, well, the Most High is leading me somewhere else. So let's see.
Well, that is. It's taking the message. We're almost coming up to the break. But sometimes it works in mysterious ways, Jim.
You've got to always look at every closed door that there's another door opening. I know that sounds like a trite saying, but it really is true. That door is closed for her, and now there's something else opening up, and she's got to lift up her head and look for that open door because it's out there.
We're going to come back and take final phone calls with Jim Paris, author of How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Kevin Randall joins us, of course, as we talk about his work on the Project Blue Book UFO files. And then we'll be talking about lucid dreams with our split show on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Jim Paris with us, of course. And Jim, I want to thank you for, you know, us utilizing your Super Bowl Sunday to get on the program tonight, too. I appreciate it.
Oh, no worries. I'm not an NFL guy, so I don't watch the Super Bowl. So you picked the right guy to come on. I was going to tell you during the break, I'm looking at all my emails and messages on Facebook and all these people emailing me saying, I'm getting the book and I'm going to start praying about my finances. I can't be more thrilled to see that. That's just so exciting to see.
Well, you know, it works. It works for you, and it's worked for a lot of other people.
Yeah, it works, and it's going to change so many people's lives. I'm just so excited about what this is going to do.
Let's go out to Ohio, where Pete is there waiting for us. Pete, go ahead.
Hey, good evening. Or I should say good morning.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Yes, as I was discussing when I initially got through, I am sort of in the middle of foreclosure. I did put the house on the market. I've been listed for 2 weeks. But I raised my family here for, both of them. We were here for 30 years. So we're trying to maintain, and I keep my head up. I'm the oldest of eight of a Catholic family since my dad had passed away. And I always look at the bright side of it.
Good for you. Good. You got some equity in the house?
Yes, that's...
let's hope you get that.
Well, that is what I'm praying for. At least if I get that much, my wife and I, we've got something to work with. And she's already out of state down in North Carolina. She finally found a new job down there. She moved in with her sister down there and obtained work down there. So I had a laugh with Jim earlier when he was first on the program talk about going to country clubs and that, because that's what my wife did for about 20 years is working for the members of the country club.
Huh. So she's seen it all.
Oh, yeah, and she's very good at it.
All right, well, you keep doing what you're doing because it sounds like you're doing the right thing. What if you're not a believer, Jim? You're not a believer in yourself. You're not a believer that this works. It won't work, will it?
Well, if you are willing to sit down and pray, even if you don't believe, if you have just that much faith to sit down and try it, I think it will work. I think you'll surprise yourself. There are a lot of people that teach in order for you to get a miracle, in order for you to hear from God, you have to have this amazing faith and amazing belief. And I'll tell you, I didn't have that when I was in the situation I was in. I wondered if God was even out there. That's how little my faith was. And he still spoke to me. So I don't think it's all that much about our faith. It's just, are we willing to listen? And he will speak to us, even those of us with the tiniest of faith. And I was there. I was really there. I just wondered, is there even a God? How could I be in this situation? And even someone praying with that state of mind, Jim Paris, was able to get all kinds of information and ideas from God.
Good for you. Let's go to Brett to Rockford, Michigan. Hey, Brett, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Well, good morning to you guys.
Morning, Brett.
Coming from a background of having a dad as an only child, mom was an only child, grandpa was an only child, I now found myself as what? An only child, and was grateful enough to marry a nice lady, oldest of four. Her dad was a pastor. And suddenly, after 15 years of marriage, she has found herself now thinking that it was a mistake, and she was kind of at a rebellious stage in her life. 15 years of living across the street from them and having now three children of our own, she decided to give me a three-hour window to leave the residence. And being an only child with no family, I'm kind of out on my own. Luckily, I had a friend to turn to at that point, living on my own. And she's always saying, yep, you're not in the Word and not enough. So now I'm here at this location. I've been doing for myself the best I can to stay up. But I've now in a spot where my landlord is also a friend when I was a paramedic. Now have some medical issues going on. But he has now decided that for his help in helping me, that he wants me to be involved in this almost like an Amway type of thing where it is, I have to sell, and it's based, and a lot of it pushes towards faith. It's called life leadership. And for part of not only just my rent, I have to pay being here. I'm not allowed, he does not want me to stay without doing this life leadership, getting people to sign up. And he keeps saying, you know, this is your window. This is what's going to make your faith stronger and make things go right in your life. And really having a tough time struggling with that and just really depressed and down with this whole divorce thing. I get to see my kids 2 hours a week supervised for absolutely no reason, except she had an attorney and I couldn't afford one at the time.
So they put the squeeze on you.
Oh, definitely. So now this landlord that was a dear friend of mine has now came to this issue and saying, you know, this is why your life is in such turmoil. And of course I was in the hospital, just got back out of hospital. I had C. diff, which was a bad infection and enlarged liver. So now I had one day of work trying to getting on my feet, been praying, got on my feet, and then sure enough, one day took me down, and I was in Spectrum Hospital for 3 weeks and getting out, and he's saying, well, because you're not into this life leadership, you know, your life's not going so well. I've been going to church on my own and really excited to hear about the story tonight. I've been a faithful listener since I moved to the Rockford area, so I appreciate you guys.
Okay, Brett. Well, react to that, Jim, if you would, his story.
Well, yeah, thank you. You know, this gentleman might mean well for you, directing you towards this, but it sounds like the way he's doing it by sort of conditioning your rent upon it, and if you don't do this, you're not going to have a place to live. Doesn't sound like a very helpful way for him to be introducing you to this concept, whatever it might be. I think he said he was a trained paramedic, he had said earlier in the call, and wow, that to me right there, you have skills. If you're not going to be a paramedic, possibly you could be one of those people that goes out for the insurance company and takes blood and urine samples for insurance applications or works in a lab. There's probably a lot of different things that you could do in today's changing medical technology world, but I wouldn't be enthusiastic, honestly, about staying where you are now. If this gentleman is forcing you to do a business that you really don't, you're not interested in, you don't really have a vision for, so maybe you should start looking for something else. And of course, praying will open up some doors and give you some ideas and ways maybe that you can get out of where you are right now. It doesn't sound like a good situation to me, George.
Jim, because so many companies, you know, have gone overseas, or they've moved to Mexico, or they're getting their goods made in China. Americans are really getting blasted. How do you pick up beyond that? I mean, are there still those intriguing jobs that you can make a decent living on?
Right, George. Everything is changing right now. So the bad news is that your job at the factory may end. But the good news is that you can learn to build websites in about a week or two. You can get that basic skill set. You can learn to, young lady, she used to make my coffee every morning at the donut shop, and I saw her one morning and she was in a nurse's outfit. I said, what are you wearing a nurse's outfit for? She said, I'm now a phlebotomist. I take blood at the lab, and she makes $12 or $15 an hour working at the lab, and she went to school for 90 days. To be able to get trained to do that. People are starting internet businesses. They're relocating to more affordable places to live. For example, New York, which used to be the third most populated state, was now just surpassed by Florida. Florida is now the third most populated state. So people are changing where they live. They're changing what they do for a living. And with all of this change, there are opportunities, and you just have to look for them, for these new emerging opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, you sure do. Let's go back to the calls. Nancy is in Duarte, California, west of the Rockies. Nancy, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, I am the poster child for this subject.
Okay, what's up?
I have bottomed out 3 times financially. I'll tell you about the most recent time. In the last decade, I spent 4.5 years unemployed. I was severely underemployed for two or three years before that. I lost my apartment for non-payment of rent. I was placed by a homeless prevention office in a god-awful little grubby little dump full of homeless people and cockroaches. I filed bankruptcy. I was on general relief and food stamps. I had no family. None of my friends offered to take me in. I was really at bottom. And then just to make sure I wasn't having too much fun, I got a cancer diagnosis.
Oh, boy.
So I had to have a hysterectomy and radiation. In Southern California, they have something called Healthy Way LA, if you're low income or no income. That took care of the medical bills.
Well, that's good.
In the midst of my radiation treatments, I suddenly got a call. I had had an interview for a job at USC about 6 months before, and I never heard from them, so I figured they hired somebody else. Suddenly, in the midst of my radiation treatments, I got a call from them saying, do you still want the job? And I said, well, sure, you know, and I told them I had to, it would take a couple of weeks before I could start. I'm sure they thought that I was giving notice on another job. Actually, I wanted to finish the radiation treatment. And so literally, I started that job the day after my last radiation treatment. It was supposed to be a year-long contract. I ended up there 2.5 years. It put me back on my feet financially. I paid off bills, saved money. I just got laid off actually a month and a half ago in December, but they say they want me back, so I'm waiting. I'm taking this as a vacation. My life turned around, and I'm fine.
Good for you. Jim,
yeah.
It's working.
Well, you know what I can hear in her voice? She is a survivor. And as a survivor myself, I can hear that in her voice, and she's going to make it because she has that right attitude.
Well, surviving is important. Being a fighter is important, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You've got to hang in there because life will just keep throwing you one curveball after the next, and it's so hard to deal with these setbacks. But that's what God is here to do, is to give us wisdom, to give us direction, to give us hope. And I could just hear it in her voice that she's somebody that's going to find that next window of opportunity.
How did you get the sailboat when you were broke?
Yes, so I wanted to buy a sailboat. And this was after I was kind of on the up curve, you know, money's starting to come back in again. And I found a guy that had the exact sailboat I wanted, and it was sitting on a trailer in his yard filled with leaves. And he said, look, what do you want to offer for it? And I offered him just over $3,000 for it, and he took it. And I took the thing home, put it in my driveway. We cleaned out buckets and buckets of leaves. We cleaned it. We painted it. I redid the wood on it. In fact, he came out later to look at the boat, and he said, this is my boat. I think he was really upset he didn't sell it to me for more money, but it took a little bit of work, but it's a beautiful little boat, 22-foot boat, and we have so many great memories. My wife and I go out there mostly with our dogs on board, but sometimes our adult kids go with us as well, and we love sailing up from Palm Coast up to St. Augustine, Florida, which is one of our favorite places.
All right, next up, whose turn? It's Sean in Lewiston, Idaho, first-time caller. Sean, go ahead.
Hi, George. George, you know, I've been listening to you for probably 25 years.
Well, I haven't been on that long, but that's good.
Well, coast to coast.
Yeah.
I'm 50 years old. I'm a former Marine. I'm a retired bodyguard. And, I used to work for Microsoft. Paul Allen, who owns the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. Sure thing.
He fired me from my first job. I was a bodyguard there.
Huh.
That led me into a life of being an entrepreneur. And long story short, I was married for 6 years, and this is kind of an inspirational story. My wife of 6 years, we had 3 children, ran off with my best friend.
You've
all heard that story. They took my business, took everything. I spent 13 years fighting just to be a dad to my kids, to pay child support and everything. And meanwhile, I went through a lot of changes, and I did reach bottom. I got to the point where I was suicidal. I thought everything was gone. In fact, at one point, I parked a limousine that I was working for a company as a bodyguard, and I'd take a limo home at night. And I parked the limo in my garage. I started it up and put all the pictures of my kids on the dash and said, you know, maybe I'll see you in the next life. And fortunately, I forgot to fill a limousine up with gas when I took it home, and I only got so far with that, and my nephew woke me up. I was sick for a week from carbon monoxide poisoning, but it started me down a different path. And I bounced back. I went through periods where I was almost homeless, and now life is good. It didn't happen overnight. It took a period of about 14 years. But I've invented a polishing system. I'm writing a book about the whole story about my kids and how I became a father again to my children. And life is good, but God played a huge role in it. And I wasn't a very faithful person through all of this. In fact, it was probably the prayer of other people that sustained me. And I wasn't very faithful. I cursed God, in fact, probably most of the time. And it was through the prayers of other people that I think that I slowly gained faith of my and self-confidence again and rebuilt my life. And
No, it hasn't been easy. It's been real hard. Life isn't fair. Nobody ever said it was going
to
be fair.
But did you enjoy the journey to get it done, Sean?
I don't know that I enjoyed it, but it made me strong. I don't think there's anything in this world that can beat me now.
Well, you know that old saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And, Jim, that's a great story.
Yeah, another story of another survivor. And just for those listening, and you're maybe where this guy was 15 years ago, listen to him. He got through it. There is hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And God is with you during all of this. And if you pray, there are answers, there are direction. And you hear this voice, you hear the caller before that, there are better days ahead. That's really the message, is no matter how hard that is to believe, there are better days ahead for you.
How to Pray for a Financial Miracle by James L. Paris. And you got to believe in yourself first and foremost, and then run with it. Jim, great information, my friend.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you again, George. God bless you. Have a great new year.
Always always a pleasure. You take care. And again, thanks for being on Beyond Belief with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure, sir.
Okay. Had a great time doing that. And you can watch that program for free by filling out the information by going to the website, www.beyondbelief.com. That's beyondbelief.com. Stick with us all week long on Coast to Coast AM. We've got some great programs that are touching into every subject, paranormal, conspiracies, you name it. We'll have it for you here on Coast to Coast AM. And if you need to email me, like so many people have learned, it is george@coasttocoastam.com. george@coasttocoastam.com. For Nathan Staten, Trisha Pepe, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Audisour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.